Begin the current daf Masechet Sivamis daf Kuf Yud Tes. Begin the 16th and final parak of Masechet Sivamis, parak Ha'isha Basra. Again, it's called Ha'isha Basra, the last Ha'isha, because there were three parakim called Ha'isha. The first one, we had the large one, and we had Ha'isha Basra. Again, they're all talking about the concept about Ha'isha, the woman that is believed to say that her husband died, thus she's not going to be in a guna and be able to marry someone else. So the Mishnah begins, Ha'isha shahalach baila v'tzaras l'nizyam. A woman that her husband and her co-wife, meaning this man was married to two women, one stayed back at home, one went overseas with one of the other co-wives, and ubo v'amrullah, then people came and told her, meis balecha, your husband died. So that the Mishnah says, lo yitinase. So now I'll go ahead and marry other people. And the reason is because when her husband left, he left without any children. So therefore, there's a chazaka that she has a zika to the yavam, to her brother-in-law, and therefore she can't marry other people. But, neither can she do yibam to the yavam, because since she has a co-wife who went overseas with her husband, maybe her co-wife gave birth. If she gave birth, then she's a eshes ach shalei b'mokam mitzvah, and she's forbidden to the yavam. So therefore, neither can she marry someone else, or neither can she go ahead and do Yibam, which the Gemara will ask, why is it that she cannot marry other people? Let her just go ahead and do Chalitza, whether it is or not Zika, just out of doubt with the Yavam. And then Mamam Shachi, the way you look at it, she can marry other people. Because if her co-wife gave birth, well then there's no Zika to the Yavam, and she go ahead and marry other people, because their people, their witnesses, even one witness is believed to say her husband died, and it's Eishasach Shalai B'malkim Mitzvah, because her co-wife had children, and if her co-wife did not have a child, so then she's getting Chalitza from the Yavam. So either way you look at it, the Gemara is going to ask, why is it? But the Gemara is saying right now, she can't do Yibam, because maybe her co-wife gave birth, but neither can she go out and marry other people, because maybe her co-wife did not give birth, and then it's a situation of Yibam. So therefore she's in this bind, until she finds out, because Shema Muberesi, because maybe she, which the Mara says, who she, maybe her tsarasa, maybe her co-wife is pregnant, which again the Gemara will explain why does it use that interesting terminology which seems redundant, of Shema Muberesi, tsarasa, maybe she, who's she, that's her co-wife, maybe her co-wife became pregnant, and again, as we just explained, that could be problematic because there is a Zika, there's a Chazaka actually, a presumption of the mitzvah of Yibam, because he went away without any children. So therefore you would say there's Yibam, but you can't say there's Yibam because maybe she became pregnant, and if she's pregnant, then there's no mitzvah of Yibam. So in that bind, you have to go ahead and verify what actually happened with the co-wife. And again, as we explain, the Gemara will explain why that is. Just do chalitza, and then you can marry someone else either way you look at it. That's the case of the Reisha, if her husband and her co-wife went overseas and she heard that her husband died. Now the Mishnah says, v'hoysela chamais, let's say she had her mother-in-law overseas. Now, when her mother-in-law had left from here to go overseas, she did not have another child besides her husband, which means to say that this woman who stayed back at home didn't have a yavam when her husband and her mother-in-law went overseas. So that the Mishnah says, Eino chayshashes. So the woman does not have to be concerned that maybe in that meantime when they were overseas, that her mother-in-law gave birth to a yavam, meaning that she had another child. Now, the obvious question is, although in the Reisha it seems like that when a woman goes overseas, like we said regarding the tzara, the co-wife, that there is a concern that maybe she went and gave birth to a child. So why are we here by the mother-in-law? Do we say that we're not concerned that maybe she gave birth to a child? It's the same, seemingly the same chashash that you should have, and therefore maybe she does have a yavam, and maybe she shouldn't be able to marry other people, because she's zakuk to that yavam. So and that Rashi explains is because there's a fundamental difference. Regarding the case of the Reisha, regarding a co-wife, any child that co-wife has, whether it's a male or a female, will exempt this woman from Yibam, because any child says that there's no mitzvah of Yibam. But regarding her mother-in-law, even if she gave birth to a child, it would not make her zakuk to that child unless that child is a male. And to go so extreme to say that maybe the mother-in-law gave birth and that birth was a male, that we're not concerned for, as the Gemara will elaborate on this, and therefore this is different than when the case of the co-wife. So although both cases, when there's a woman going out besides her husband that died, so the question is what happened with that other woman, regarding the co-wife, we're concerned that maybe she did have a child, and if she did, so therefore that's why the chazaka that you have for Yibam you cannot fulfill, because maybe there is no Yibam, whereas by a mother-in-law, we're not concerned that maybe she had a child and that the child was a male. So therefore, if she hears that her husband died, and up until now there was chazaka, presumptive, that there was no other yavam, so she can go ahead and marry other people. Now, however, the Mishnah does say if her mother-in-law left over here meleya, full, meaning that she was pregnant, then we are concerned, because then the default position is that she's having another child. So we don't have to say that maybe she was pregnant or not. That's already a given. Then the question is only if it's a male or a female. If it's a male, then obviously there's a yavam, and therefore she's forbidden to other people. And maybe it's a female, so therefore you have to be concerned regarding those odds that maybe she gave birth to a male, and therefore you can't marry other people until you find out if she had a boy, and then you have the Zika, or a girl, and then you can go to marry other people. But Rabbi Shulamer, he argues in the Tanakhama, he says, in Oyna Cheshashas, he says that even in that case, where she left pregnant, you don't have to be concerned. And the reason is because you could say, first of all, maybe she had a miscarriage. And even if she didn't have a miscarriage, maybe it was a female. So that puts the odds of it being a male child, which would create a yavam, in the minority. And for that, you don't have to be cheshish, but even if she went out pregnant, he still says that since we didn't have a yavam when she left, we don't have to assume that there is one, and she could, if she hears this report, which the one witness is believed to say that her husband's dead, she can marry someone else, and we don't have to be concerned that there's a yavam. Now the Gemara asks, as we alluded to this interesting terminology in the case of the Reisha, that since she had a co-wife that went with her husband, she has to suspect that maybe there was a child, maybe not, and therefore, although there's a chazaka for yibum, because her husband left without any children, she can't do yibum, because maybe her co-wife had a child, thus excluding them from yibum. So it said that because maybe mu'uberes hi tzarasa, because maybe her tzara, was pregnant. So the Gemara asks, my hi tzarasa, what's this redundant term saying, because maybe she, her co-wife, gave birth to a child, and thus she can't go ahead and do the chazak of yibum that she was presumptive up until now. Why the redundancy? The Gemara says, Hakamash one. This is what it's teaching, the Chiddush in the Mishnah. And that is, when it says he, meaning only for her, laha tsara hu dechashinan, only for this co-wife are we concerned that maybe their co-wife who left with the husband maybe gave birth to a child, and then therefore you can't do yibum. But for a different co-wife. In other words, if witnesses come and say that his co-wife is not pregnant, so first of all, they said the husband died, and they said that the co-wife is not pregnant, so we're not concerned that maybe when the husband went overseas, he married another woman, and maybe that woman gave birth. And since we're not concerned for that, so therefore she's going to be permitted to the yavam in such a case if she knew for sure that the co-wife didn't give birth. We don't have to say, that's what's only he, tsarasa, maybe she's pregnant. But to assume that maybe there was another woman that was introduced, and then maybe she gave birth, and therefore she can't do yibum, for that, we're not concerned. Now the Mishnah said regarding this case of the reisha, the bind that you're in, it said, loiti nosi v'loiti siyavim v'chulu, you can't go ahead and, neither can you marry other people, because your chazaka is that you have a zika to the yavam, because the husband left without any children, but neither can you do yibum until you verify that the tzara is not pregnant, because if she's pregnant, well then there's no yibum. So since you're in that bind, you can't do either one. So the Gemara wonders, Bishlam Yibum Ilai. So you're right. You're in this bind, you can't do Yibum, the Dilmim Abra, because maybe the co-wife is pregnant. V'kapoga be'eshasach da'raisa, so that makes this woman who stayed back home an eshasach shaloi b'moka mitzvah, because at least if the brother has at least one wife that he has children from, there's no mitzvah of Yibum. So that would make a biblical prohibition of chorus of engaging in with the brother-in-law, which is Isra of his brother's wife. But the difficulty is, why are you saying she could not go ahead and marry other people? Halach achar reiv nashim, there's always halacha called reiv. Majority, that's how we decide halacha. Go after the majority of women. Now, which we're saying it should define this co-wife who went overseas. Reiv nashim misabris v'yoldois. Majority of women get pregnant and give birth. And therefore, the co-wife that went overseas, the assumption would be, based on the halacha of Raiv, that she gave birth to a child. If she gave birth to a child, it means to say there is no mitzvah yibum over here. So therefore, the Gemara wonders, should we say that the Tana of our Mishnah is Remeir who's concerned for minorities? In other words, Remeir's opinion is mentioned in Masechtas Chulin, the Vav Med Aleph, where regarding the halachas of Kutim, which was a certain sect of people that the rabbis decreed on them that they should have the halacha as idol worshippers. Now the reason for that decree was because of there was a minority of kutim that were found, there was an image of a pigeon that they worshipped and they bowed down to on Mount Gerizim. So because of those minority people, Reb Meir said that we're going to consider all of them like kutim. And that's because Reb Meir's opinion is that we're concerned for minority. So it sounds like that the town of Mishnah is going like Reb Meir, because we have a majority of women, that meaning that majority, we say that the woman gave birth, and this woman who went overseas, the Rav should tell us that she gave birth, and if she gave birth, so there's no halacha of Yibum. So yes, we understand that you cannot go ahead and do Yibum, because maybe she had a child, but actually to the other way, this odds of her having a child is actually the majority odds. And if that's the case, so then we should assume for sure that she did give birth. So then there's no mitzvah of Yibum and you're mutar l'shok. So why do we say lo tinasi? So the Gemara says, nafil tim rabbanu. We could even say it's going like the rabbanu. Because kiaz l'rabbanu basaruba, when did the rabbis that argue under Meir go based on the laws of majority? That's only ruba de isekama. That's qualified in the type of majority which the variables, all the different elements are in front of us. Kagan, as the Gemara gives an example, Tesha Chanuyas. If you have 9 stores where the Gemara there, Masechtas Chulin Daf Tzadahim and Aleph explains, if let's say you find the piece of meat from 9 stores where there's kosher stores and non-kosher stores. So the halacha that it's brought over there is that you go after the majority, and the reason is because the stores are all here. Now, we see that most of them sell kosher meat. So therefore we say the halacha, what's called Kol Deparish, Merubah Parish, we say that whatever was taken from these stores, we go after the majority, the laws of majority, because the variables are all here. The odds are that it came from the majority of the stores. So that's one example. Or let's say the Sanhedrin. Regarding the Sanhedrin, regarding a Bezdin, a court of law, where if let's say you have 12 judges that say that he's Zakai, that he merited, and you have 11 saying that he's Chayiv, that he's liable. So the halacha is brought in Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Mem Amud Aleph, that halacha is Zakai. The reason is since the majority say that he wins, so there he wins. Now, again, there you have the judges are all here, and that's what's called, that it's the Issa Kaman. And that's actually the source of halacha of Roiv, of Acharam Lahatis, is based on the halacha of like we find by a Sanhedrin, by judges, where they're all here. Now, odds are, if something is coming, you would say, where'd it come from? It came. Well, look at how many things there are over here. The majority is one thing. The odds are it came from the majority. Avoruba de lesa, come on. But regarding a majority that's statistically not from something that's from the variables that are here, it's just evaluating it in regards to the majority in general. For example, in this case we're discussing over here, when we're talking about most women in the world, they go ahead and they become pregnant and give birth. But that doesn't tell us regarding this woman, what's her status. She could be 50-50. It doesn't clarify. If let's say you have 9 pieces, 9 stores or 9 Sanhedrin, whatever it is, it doesn't clarify in our context. It's just in the macro that it says that that's generally what happened statistically. But it wouldn't tell us regarding the odds over here. The only Azarab on the bus, Rubu, who said that the rabbis over there would go after the majority? In other words, what the Gemara is saying is that actually we could say that the Mishnah is even like the Rabbanon, not like Remeir. Now, although generally the Rabbanon do not agree to Remeir, that were Chayish Lemiyuta, that's only when it's a Rubu de Issa come on, like by Sanhedrin, like by the stores, where everything is here. And we say, look, odds are if something's coming, it came from one of these things. But regarding a statistic, which this woman actually could be never having birth. Maybe she never has a child. It's only because we say the majority of women, that's generally what happens. That's called a ruba de lesa kamon, and therefore maybe over there, the Rabbana would agree that we don't go after Raiv, and we would be concerned for the meat, and therefore maybe we cannot say tinase, because maybe she didn't give birth. Now the Gemara asks, but how can you say that? Regarding the halacha, the Gemara is surely going to quote regarding a minor that's either male or female, where that's also the ruba de lesa kamani, where as we're qualifying something where we say based on the majority of generic type of elements, where it's not evaluating here based on the different variables here, it's just saying generally that's what happens in the world. And the rabbis still go after the Raiv, and they still argue under Meir. The Tanakh Linda Bryce as follows. Katnu katana, either minor, male or female, lo yicholtzim lo biyamin de Remeir. Meir says they cannot do chalitza or yibam. Now, Amal Remeir, so the Chacham said to Remeir, look, Yafa marata she'en chaltzin. We agree to you regarding what you said, that a katan and a katana cannot do chalitza. And the reason is because ish kasav a parsha. Regarding the parsha of chalitza, it says a male, which ish always connotes a gadol. Now, umakshin an ish l'ish, and since it says within the parsha regarding the female component, so we compare the isha to the ish, and just like the ish has to be an adult to do chalitza, so the woman also has to be, the yivama has to be an adult to do chalitza too. So we agree to you regarding chalitza. What's the reason you're saying that a katan and a katana cannot go ahead and do yibum? So Amal Hamser, Meir said to them, he says, look, katan shemiyim tzisris. A minor has not fully matured. We don't know if he's capable of creating a child, and maybe he's going to be a tzisris, which is will be infertile. Katana shematim tzailis. A minor female is also has not matured to that age, which we know if she's able to conceive or not. Maybe she's going to be an islandess that doesn't have the female characteristics of being able to have a child. Now, there is that possibility, and if that's the case, v'nimtzu poigim erva comes out, as the halacha is discussed regarding stress and illness, that they're not eligible for the halacha of yibum. If they're not eligible for the halacha of yibum, it means to say that the iser esher sach that's always there with a brother's wife, that when the brother dies, without any children, will be a biblical prohibition of that, of course. And you have to be concerned for those odds. When they're an adult, you could check if they are capable or not. But here, when they're minors, you can't. So therefore, you can't go ahead and do yibum because maybe it's actually going to be an iser of erva. Now, Rabbanan Sarva, they held a no. Zil basar rub l'katanim. You go after the majority of minors. Barev katanim loves srisim ninu. Majority of children that are male, they're not srisim. And similarly, zil basarev katanis. Go after the majority of girls. Barev katanis lava alnis. And the majority of girls are not alnis. Now, one thing we see from here is that that's a ruba de lesa kamun. That doesn't tell us anything intrinsically for this girl, for this boy. It's just saying, generally, statistically, in the world, that's the odds. But again, that's called the ruba de lesa kamun because it's not telling us for sure odds are what's with this child, with this object, with this person. It's just saying that that's the odds in the world, and that's the ruba de lesa kamun. If it was coming from 10 children and we know that 9 of them are able to have children and one of them is not, that would be a ruba de isa kamun. But it's not, and yet still we see they say that's the halach of roiv. So the Gemara says, Eli, you're right, machvarta, it's clear, masnit and remeir, must be that the Tana of Mishnah is like remeir, who since this obviously saying loitinasi, although there's a roiv, that the tsar who went overseas became pregnant, had a child, and that therefore would exclude her from even having the element of yibum, and thus allowing her to marry someone from the shuk. And we're saying, loitinasi, must be going like remeir, who's concerned for the miyad, then maybe this woman did not become pregnant and did not have a child. Now, however, now that we came to that conclusion that must be the town of a Mishnah like Remeir, but the Gemara asks, so b'may kimta, so how do you establish the town of the Mishnah like Remeir? But there's a problem, because aim is safer, so that clarifies the ratio of the Mishnah. That's the case of when the husband goes with the co-wife overseas. But look at the aim is safer. Haysel Chamas, it says, let's say her husband went overseas with her mother-in-law, so her husband and mother-in-law, mother and son, they go on a trip. So if she has a mother-in-law who didn't have any other children besides her husband. So the Mishnah said, in the Cheshesha, she said the woman that was left behind when she hears her husband died does not have to be concerned that maybe her mother-in-law went and had another child, which would thus make a yavam for her and not allow her to marry other people. She doesn't have to have that concern. Now the question is, amai, why is that? Because although, as we explained before, as the Gemara shortly explained, that having the odds of that the mother-in-law had a male child is just the minority, but so halach acharev nashim. So you go after the majority of most women. Now, as just we just explained before, majority of women become pregnant. Now, what that ultimately will show us, as the Gemara is going to ask, is that the mother-in-law, the odds of her having a male child, is not what would be called a miuta de miuta. It's not a minority of minority. It's only going to be one miut, one minority. Because the majority of women are v'rev nashim mis'arbis v'yaldas. Again, as we said before, the majority of women become pregnant and have a child. Now, it's only miut mapilas, only a minority that would miscarry. Now, moreover, v'chala yaldas mechtes schar mechtes nekevas. Now, whoever gives birth, it's 50-50 if she's going to have a male or a female. Now, ultimately, what that means is, So to the final equation is smoich mi uta de mapilas. So what do you do is you start matching up teams. What's the odds that this is going to be a problem that she has a yavin, that she can't marry other people or whatnot? So take the minority of that she miscarried, which again is obviously not a male child, put it on the team of lemechts and the kavas for the 50-50 chance of the child as being a female. Now, vahavali zachar miuta, so good, fine. That makes the odds of it being a male a minority, but still valeichesh. We should still be concerned because you're saying the town of the Mishnah is Rebbeinu, who is chayesh lemiuta. Again, because we're saying that the majority of women, there's a rive that she's pregnant having a child. Now, okay, fine. So let's call that maybe 80%. So 80% she's having a child. 20% that she's not going to have a child because she'll miscarry. Fine, so there's 80-20. Now, in that of having the 80% of having a child, there's, let's say, 40% male, 40% female. So 40% female plus the 20% of miscarrying is 60%. So you have 60 to 40. So yes, the majority is definitely saying that there was no male born to the mother-in-law, and therefore you don't have to be concerned for Yavam. But there's a minority. There's 40% saying that maybe it's a male, and your mayor is the one who's the town of our Mishnah, that's Chayesh Lemiuta. So why does the Mishnah say, oh, when a mother-in-law goes overseas, you don't have to be concerned, you can go at it. And if you hear that your husband died without any children, since there's no Yavam that we know about, you don't have to be concerned. Why? We're going like your mayor is Chayesh Lemiuta. So that the Gemara answers, Dilma maybe, kiven de chazka l'shok, since in this case, there was a chazaka, the presumptive state that she was in, knowing her husband's dying without any children, was that she could marry other people because her mother-in-law didn't have any children before, that we knew about beforehand, meaning there's no Yavam. So lechayish. So you're right, although Remeir is the town of our Mishnah, that's chayish l'miuta, but when there's a chazaka together that's also fighting the miut, then we're not going to be chayish l'miuta. Because besides the roiv that fights the miut, additionally to that, you have a chazaka that's fighting it, because the chazaka is saying that you have a chazaka to l'shok, and then the miut is saying maybe not. So then Remeir is not going to be chayish l'miuta, again, when it's connected to roiv and connected to chazaka. But then the Gemara asks, based on that, well, then you have the same question regarding the reisha. Reisha di chazak liyibum, regarding the reisha, where there was chazaka that she had yibum, and that's because her husband left without any children. And there is a yavam over here. Now, so therefore, even in the case when her co-wife is going overseas, who also didn't have any children, so the question is to yavam, there you should also say that she should be able to do yibum, because there you have the chazaka that's saying that she has yibum. So what are you saying, that Remeir is chayish l'miuta? But who cares that he's chayish l'miuta? But you have a chazaka over here. In other words, so if you're saying chazaka defines what the halacha is going to be, so why don't you say over there in the ratio too, that since she has a chazaka for yibum, she should be able to do yibum, and we shouldn't be concerned that maybe the co-wife had a child overseas. So on that, Amrav Nachman, Amrav Arvu, he says that no. Ratio, the Issacharis, regarding the case of the ratio, you're right. Just like we said regarding the Sefer, that there's a chazaka, and therefore that will not define for us that, let's say, will be chayish l'miuta. But the case of the reisha, although there's a chazaka that you have a mitzvah of yibum to the yavam, because when the husband went overseas, no one had any children from this husband. But there, if the co-wife actually ended up having a child, she'll be violating an issur of karis of when she does yibum of eshes ach. So there, chashashu, there they were concerned that maybe the co-wife became pregnant and had a child, and therefore she's forbidden to the yavam. Sefer, the Isra Lav, regarding the Sefer, which is only a negative prohibition, which is the Isra of Leshuk, which is learned out from just a pasuk, but doesn't have a punishment of Karis, Lechashu, there they weren't concerned that maybe the mother-in-law became pregnant and therefore it should be Asa Leshuk. Rather, we establish it based on the Chazaka, which she always had up until now, that she's going to be Mutter Leshuk. So again, yes, although Chazaka will define for us Halacha, but it would only define for us Halacha in contrast to the Suffolk that we have, if that suffix is only Isra Lav, which is the case in the Sefer, but in the Reisha, where it's the Isra Karis that you might be violating, so there we are concerned that maybe the co-wife had a child when she went overseas, again, in contrast to the case of the Chamois, and that's the difference. Now, that the Gemara asked. Amar Rava, he asked on this interpretation of Rav Nachman, says, Mechti, look, let's see. What's the difference? Hadaraisa v'hadaraisa. Both the Isra of Yivama L'shuk and the Isra of Eishasach are biblical violations. So therefore, Mali Isra Karis, Mali Isra Lav, what ultimately does it make a difference to me? If it's a punish, it's a biblical prohibition of karis or a negative prohibition, don't we have to be concerned whenever you have what's called a sveik deraisa, we should go l'chumr, whenever you have a biblical violation that you might be violating, you have to be concerned whether it's karis or not. In other words, because this is not like what, where we find in Shas the differentiations between issa karis and issa lav. That's only by rabbinic extensions of the halacha where we're concerned by something that's really mutter. So on that, we find that for issa karis, we're going to make our achaka, we'll make a distance. But for lav, we won't make. But here, you might actually be violating the issa deraisa, which is l'shuk. So why is that any different? That is just a lav. It doesn't make a difference. That's a classic halacha of sveika deraisa l'chumra. So therefore, if you're going like Reb Meir, that's chayish l'miuta, the case of the sefer should not be any different than the case of the reisha, where although there's a chazaka saying one way, but there's a doubt saying another way, which we're concerned for, and therefore you can't go ahead and do Yibam, although you had a chazaka for Yibam, because maybe the co-wife had a child, and if she had a child that makes this a Isser Eishes Ach, whether it's Karis or not. So here also, when you have the Chamais, where although it's a minority, but Remeir's Chayish Lemiyuta, maybe the mother-in-law had a male child, which thus makes her forbidden to marry L'shok, because there's a Yavim, and you should be concerned for that. That's what's called a Sveika Darais L'chomer. So Elam HaRava, rather, Rava gives a different resolution for the understanding of the difference between, since the Reish and the Sefer both have Chazakas, why is it that by the case of the Sefer will go with the Chazaka and allow her to marry and not be concerned for maybe the mother-in-law had a male child, in contrast to the case of the Reish, where although there's a Chazaka that she permitted to the Yavam, because they left without any children, to say that maybe the co-wife did have a child and thus she is forbidden to the Yavam. As we continue on Tamad Beis, where Rava says the following calculation that shows the difference between the cases. It says the case of the Reisha, where the husband left with the co-wife overseas without any children. So first of all, the chazaka brings, as we said before, l'yibum. And that's because the presumptive state that this woman is in when she hears her husband dies is to have yibum with the yavam, because the husband died, the husband left without any children. Now, veruba, the majority, that halacha, again, there's different halachic criteria that go into deciding a halacha. There's chazaka, which we're saying will tell us that she has yibum, but the laws of majority, which is also halacha, will tell us that she's permitted l'shuk, actually not for the yavam, but to marry someone else, because as we said before, the majority of women become pregnant and give birth. Now, that therefore by default tells us, based on halachas of majority, that the co-wife gave birth to a child, which thus makes the co-wife, who this woman is left behind, also exempt from Yibum, and not even entering the parish of Yibum, which means to say she permitted for others. So we have a chazaka saying one way, which is that, oh, she's zakuk to the oven, but we have the halacha of Rav saying the other way, that no, there's no Yibum here. The co-wife definitely gave birth, which means makes her permitted to other people. Now the Gemara says, v'chazaka lo'odav kiruba. The laws of presumptive state is not as strong in halacha as the laws of majority that we should go based on that to allow it to do yibum. So therefore, based on that contradiction of the chazaka and roiv, we cannot allow her to do yibum because the roiv is saying that, contradicting that halacha of chazaka. Now, so therefore you say, okay, so fine, she can't do yibum. But the Reisha said, loy tisyabim v'loy tinasi. She can't do yibum, which we just explained, but why can't she not get married to someone else then if roiv overpowers the chazaka? The reason for that is because the calculation is not over. V'aisi mi'ute demapilis. Now, bring together, although yes, the majority that the tzara, the co-wife, became pregnant and gave birth, which any child will exempt her, whether male or female, from the halacha of yibum, but there's a minority of women that miscarry. Now, if that's the case, so what you do now is chazaka has another one on its team that will say that, oh, that means to say there is no child and that you are having a mitzvah of yibum. So what you do is simoich l'chazaka, you support the chazaka, which is that she's zakuk for yibum, together with the mitzvah of mapilas. So that will even out the balance. Yes, roiv is stronger than chazaka, but roiv doesn't have everything on its team because chazaka has the mitzvah with it. So v'havali palgul palgut, it now makes it outed to be like 50-50, and therefore, loy tinasa, neither can she get married l'shuk either, And that's because, as Rashi explains, it's not really because based on the principle of 50-50. Even if it wasn't 50-50, even if it was just a minority, but Remeir is chayish lemi'uta. And just the fact that there's a minority, which is a legitimate minority, which is putting the miut together with the chazaka, will tell us that that you're not permitted l'shuk, and therefore you can't get married, but v'loy tesab, and neither can you do yibim, as we explained before, because the roiv is overpowering the chazaka. That puts you in a bind of not being able to do yibum and not being allowed to do yivam of going l'shuk, again, because you have different halachic principles that are contradicting each one, which again, the miut of Remeir doesn't allow you to go ahead and get married to someone else, because there's a legitimate minority saying that you are zaku to the yavam, and therefore you can't go l'shuk, but neither can you do yibum because you have a legitimate roiv, which is overpowering the chazaka, saying that no, you can't go ahead and do yibum because your tzara had a wife from your husband, had a child from your husband. Now that explains the case of the reisha, why we can't just go with the chazaka. But seifa, regarding the case of the mother-in-law, chazaka l'shuk, this woman's status is presumptive that she's permitted to marry other people because as the mother-in-law left, was without any other children, meaning that this woman didn't have any yavam when the mother-in-law left. And moreover, veruba l'shuk, the majority is actually doing the same thing. It's also saying that this woman that heard her husband died is also permitted l'shuk. And the reason is because even if you're going to say, as we said, the majority of women are, that the mother-in-law became pregnant and had a child, but there's two problems with that. A, first of all, maybe she gave birth to a female, which is not introducing any element of yibum, and maybe she miscarried, which the majority of fetuses will ultimately be either a female or a miscarriage. As we said before, because half of the children are female, and moreover, a minority of any fetus gets miscarried. That makes the odds of the child being a male, first of all, the minority regarding any children being born. So, but there's another element here. In other words, besides the roiv working against that it being a male child, there's also a chazaka that's working against the child being a male, because the chazaka is saying that she's permitted l'shuk. So therefore, there's double things that are working against the minority of it being a male. And therefore, the Gemara says, v'havli zacharim mi'uta d'mi'uta. That ultimately makes the odds of it being a male into a minority of a minority, because we said there's two strong halachic principles working against this odd of it being a male. One is the rave of any fetus, because either it's going to be a female, which is 50%, let's say, and then of all fetuses, let's say 20% is going to be non-viable. And so then you have the minority, however the ratio is going to be, of it being male. So that's one miut. But moreover, the reason why it's a miut is because based on the halacha of chazaka, we say that this woman was presumptive to be permitted l'shuk because her mother-in-law left without any child. Now, there's a minority that will say that maybe she had a male child. But you have the roiv working against it and the chazaka working against it. So therefore, that it's not just a regular miut when the kenegad roiv. It's like almost a miut d'miuta, because you have a chazaka working against it too. And a minority of minority, such a slim chance of this being, of this happening, because we have majority laws of majority against it, we have the laws of presumptive state, which is that things are as they are until we know otherwise, are all working against it, the Remeir would not be concerned. And that's the fundamental difference, Rava says, between the case of the Reisha and the case of the Seifa. Not like Rav Nachman had said, because depending on what the violation is, will we go after the chazaka or not? Rather, it's because that the halachas of minority depend how minute those odds are. If it's a regular minority based on keneged arayv, then we'll go with that. But regarding the case of the seifa, where you have it me'uta d'me'uta, that we won't be concerned for, and therefore the chazaka and the arayv will allow us to have this woman be permitted the shuk, and therefore, as the Mishnah tells us, in the cheshesh, she does not have to be concerned that the mother-in-law gave birth to a male child. Now the Mishnah said in this halach of the reisha, which is when the husband and the co-wife go overseas, it says, Leiti nasi v'leiti siyab mechulu. So now this woman who's left back at home, neither, as we just explained before from Rava, neither can she go ahead and get married to other people because of that minority that we said, but neither can she do Yibum because we have the Rive that's saying that she had that the co-wife had a child. Bechulu asked the Mishnah there, concluded and said, until she knows what actually happened with the co-wife, if she's pregnant or not. Meaning, if she's not pregnant, so then, yeah, she does Yibum with the Yavam. If she is pregnant, so again, then she can marry whoever she wants to, because then there's no mitzvah Yibum. Now, the Gemara asks, as we had alluded to this question in the Mishnah, Ula Olam, so that means to say this woman is stuck forever, and that she can never marry or do anything Yibum or marry someone else until she finds out what happened with the co-wife? But the question is, let her do chalitza with the Yavam, miman of shachidah, where you look at it, then she'll be permitted to marry Lashok, because if you do chalitza with the Yavam, look, if the co-wife had a child, so then she's anyways permitted to someone else. Like the act of chalitza, taking off the shoe, is just like having fun. And if she didn't have a child, well, then that's a legitimate chalitza, but either way, she's permitted to marry Lashok. So why does the Mishnah make it sound like that she's stuck forever? So Amaziri, so Ziri says, you're right. What the Mishnah was saying was, li atzma, meaning the woman, because of her own halachas, intrinsically, she has to wait shlosh chadashim. She has to wait 3 months after she hears about her husband's death. And that's because that's a generic halacha that any woman, after her husband's death, has to wait 3 months. Even if her husband was overseas at the time, well, you don't have to be concerned that maybe the woman was pregnant, because that's where the whole base of halacha, waiting 3 months when you leave the first husband until you go to the second one, because you're not going to know the paternity of the child or regarding halacha sub yibim, if you're legitimate, eligible for yibim or not, because if you had a child, then you're not. So therefore, you have to wait 3 months. That halacha was instituted under all circumstances. And that is because, as we see, as we said in Perek HaChayletz and Daf Mem Beis Mabeis, where we said even an elderly woman or an islandess also has to wait 3 months. And that's a halacha that everybody has to wait. So once she hears the news, she has to wait 3 months. Now, Lechaverta, because of her friend, the co-wife, who we said maybe she's pregnant, so therefore her co-wife, who's left back over here, has to wait. Tish has to wait 9 months, because even if she gets chalitza from the Yavam right away, she's not allowed to go ahead and marry someone else within 9 months. And the reason is because, and that's what the Mishnah means when it says maybe the tzara is mu'ubarasi, maybe she's pregnant. Now, if she's pregnant and she ends up delivering a healthy, viable child, what will be exempting her and allowing her to marry someone else will not be the chalitza, because chalitza is not valid over here. It's the child that will be exempting her. Now, the child does not exempt, as we learned on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, until it's Yatzalav or Olam, until it's actually born, until it's delivered. So therefore, you would have to wait 9 months, because maybe she's pregnant and it's not the chalitza exempting, it would be the birth, and that's only the birth, which is 9 months. Now, but then you're right. Ziri says, after 9 months, you could do chalitza, and then either way, you'll be permitted to marry someone else, either because then ultimately the child was born, and then she's permitted either way, or even if there's no child, because we don't know what's going on overseas, but then she's allowed to do chalitza, and then she'll be permitted. That's Zeir's interpretation. Chanina, he says, no. He says, La'atzma shleisha, right? The woman for herself always has to wait 3 months. L'chaverta, but because of her friend, she has to wait l'oilam, forever, indefinitely, until she finds out if the co-wife had a child or not. Which the question obviously is, why? V'techletz, let this woman do chalitza after 9 months, mimalav shech, either way you look at it, and then get married. And that is, as we said, if the co-wife gave birth, so she's already exempted from the yavim, allowed to marry whoever she wants to with the birth of that child from her husband. And if not, so the chalitza will exempt her. What's the problem? So that the Gemara says, Abaye bar Avin and Reb Chanina bar Avin, Amar Tavai, they both said an explanation of this halacha of Reb Chanina. It's a gezeira. The reason why she's forbidden forever is a concern. Shemi Yehivlad ben Kayima, because maybe what's going to happen is that ultimately they'll hear the news that her co-wife gave birth to a viable child, which thus that means to say that the chalitza she had with the yavam was not a chalitza. It was considered halachically insignificant because she didn't have any relationship. There was no zika because her husband had a child from her co-wife. Now, if that's the case, the nimtza at the matzricha cruz comes out that you're going to need an announcement. You're going to have to announce that the chalitza she had with that man, with her brother-in-law, was not a chalitza, and that she's permitted l'kuhuna, that she's permitted to kuhuna because she's not a chalutza. A chalutza is forbidden to kohen, but she's not a chalutza. It was not considered significant. She was exempted because her co-wife had a child. And therefore, since you're going to mandate that cruz, we're concerned for that. Which the Gemara says, what's the problem? Let's look. So good. So have that announcement. Say, look, everyone should know, she's allowed to marry a kohen, although she had chalitza, it wasn't halachic chalitza. Now, in fact, the Gemara says, no, we're concerned. Dilma ikadav b'chalitza. Maybe there's going to be someone who was there by the chalitza. It's a very interesting ceremony. He was watching the chalitza. V'lehev b'charaza, but that was not at the subsequent announcement where they gave the klop and they said that she's not a chalitza. V'amri, and they're going to say, when she sees she marries a kain, oh, kashar chalitza l'kain, they're permitting a chalitza to marry a kain, which could cause great halachic problems if people think a chalitza can marry a kain. And because of that, Reb Chanina said that this woman is going to be usserly oilam until she finds out, because we can't permit a mimon of shach. Because if we do, then we might find out later that she's permitted to a kain, and we'll make the announcement, and the person's not going to be there, and people might end up confusing this halacha, and therefore she's forbidden. Now, the Gemara asks, now we learned in the previous Mishnah, that the Mishnah said, nitin li ben b'minin ziyam. If a woman said, who went overseas with her husband without any child, and she says that when we were away on vacation, so a child was born to me, but she says, meis b'niva achkach b'ayli, that actually, but my son died before my husband died, and therefore I'm zakuk to the yavam as I was before, because at the moment of death I didn't have any children. So the man is, so she's believed with this that she said that my son died and then my husband died, and that we're not concerned that maybe it's only because she really loves her brother-in-law and she wants to go ahead and have a relationship with him now that her husband's dead, and even though maybe her son actually died after her husband. And the reason is because since the chazaka, the presumptive state, was that she was eligible for yibam, and it's only what's called her mouth, her pesha aser, she, by saying she had a child, would make her potentially forbidden to the yavam when she says she had a son. That same mouth could permit her to the yavam by saying, oh yes, I had a son, but he died before my husband. That's the halacha of pesha aser, pesha itta, because there's a chazaka that she's anyways permitted to the yavam. Now, her mouth would make her forbidden by saying, I had a child, but that could permit it by qualifying and saying, but he died before my husband. So I'm back to the chazaka. But the Mishnah says, if she says, this child that was born to me overseas, first my husband died and then my child died, which means to say that I had a child at the moment of death, thus I'm not eligible for the halacha of yibam, ain't in the man that she's not permitted to marry other people. And the reason is because when she left, she was in the chazaka of yibam. We're concerned that maybe it's just because she hates her brother-in-law, and that's why she says, oh, I had a son, but the truth is that maybe she didn't have a son, and therefore she's not believed. But we are concerned that maybe she's saying the truth. As we explained the previous stuff, that we're not sure if a woman hates her brother-in-law, likes her brother-in-law. It might not be that she's saying because she hates him, but we have to be concerned that maybe it is because of that. So she's not believed to be able to marry other people, but maybe she's saying the truth. So if she's saying the truth, then she actually is forbidden to the yavam because she had a son at the moment of death. So therefore, we have to do somewhere in the middle of a chetlet sevelim esebemis. She obviously cannot go out and marry other people because maybe she's lying, but neither can she do yibum because maybe she's saying the truth. So you do chalitza, and chalitza is permitted because you're not violating in the isser even if it's not necessary. And then she can marry someone else. That's halacha the Mishnah said on the previous stuff. Now, the question the Gemara is asking is, but v'leichush, if we're concerned that maybe this woman is telling the truth as we are, and that's why we don't allow her to go ahead and do yibum, so then, Dilma also Eidim v'Amri k'dekamer. Maybe she's saying the truth and we're concerned for that, maybe witnesses will ultimately come and say the same thing that she's saying, that she was right, that she had a son who only died after her husband, which means to say that, as the witnesses will verify, that she was never zakuk to the yavam. Hence, what would that make halachically? That the chalitza she had with that yavam, as we said the halacha requires, was halachically insignificant, which thus subsequently will verify that she's actually permitted to kahuna. V'nimtza tamatzricha kruz l'kahuna, and that will thus require that we're going to have to make an announcement that she's permitted for kahuna. And the problem with that is because maybe someone will be by the chalitza, not by the kahuna, and then see her marry a kohen, and will think that we permit a chalitza l'kohen. So if we have this type of halacha concern, so why then does that Mishnah say that this is what we do, that we do chalitza and not yibum? You shouldn't even be allowed to do chalitza, like Rabbi Chanina explained in her halacha, where she cannot do chalitza because of the subsequent halachic ramifications of confusion. So that should apply to that Mishnah too, but yet there we do say that she does chalitza. Why? We should say you shouldn't be able to do chalitza because of the halachic confusion. So I think Mar gives two answers to that question. It's not a difficulty, Rabbi Chanina. Amar Papi says, Begrusha, that Mishnah is talking about where this woman was already divorced once before from a previous marriage, where anyway she's possible from kahuna because she's a grusha, and therefore we're not going to have to make an announcement that she wasn't a chalutza because it doesn't make a difference. Even though she's not a chalutza, she's forbidden to kahanim anyway because from a previous marriage she was a grusha. Or Rav Chiya Bar Eder, Rav Huna Amar, he says, it's talking about Ba'amra when she says, Ani v'hu, me and him, meaning my son and my husband, nechpa'anu b'marar. We were concealed in a cave. No one was with us to come and say testimony at a later point in time that what I'm saying is right. But I know that my husband died first and then my son. Now, therefore, if it's such a case, we're going to be concerned that maybe witnesses are going to come at a later point in time, because the whole concern that we're concerned for is only based on her words. And based on her words, it's not feasible to say that witnesses are going to come and verify what she's saying to thus then mandate a cruz, because she herself is saying that there was no one around. And therefore, although that, yes, she's not believed, but we're choshel devarel, and therefore we do chalitza and not yibam, but there's no problems that are going to come out from doing chalitza, because it will never come out, even if she's not a grusha, to have a cruz, because she said, and it's only her words that are making this problem, that there was no edim over there, and that's why you don't have the concern of Reb Chanina. But you're right. If it was a regular case that she's not a grusha and they weren't concealed in the cave, then Reb Chanina would be correct that you wouldn't do chalitza because of the possible subsequent problems that could come out when witnesses come and verify what she's saying as correct. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the same theme. Mishnah says, Shtei Yevamos. If you have two Yevamos, which the term Yevama is used loosely translated, in other words, when you have the wives of two brothers, where their potential Yevamos to each other, meaning each one, if their husband dies without any children, will be Yevama to the other woman's husband, so they're called two Yevamos. So basically, two brothers who went overseas, and their two wives come back and say, Zui meres meis baili. One woman comes back and says, my husband died. Zui meres meis baili. Another one says, my husband died. The two brothers died. So the Mishnah says, Zu asura. This one is forbidden to marry other people. The reason being, Bimne baili shel zu, because of the husband of the other one, which is her yavam, because maybe he's alive and she zakuked him. Now, although his wife says that he's dead, she's not believed regarding her potential yevama to get married based on what she's saying. Because as we learned in the previous Mishnah, a yevama cannot say testimony regarding her future yevama because she's one of the five women that's not believed to say testimony to say that her husband died. And vizu asum nibala shazu, and this one's forbidden because of this one's husband. And therefore, each one cannot say regarding the other one that the husband died. So you have two women that are believed, both of them, to say that her husband died, and therefore potentially should be able to get married, but she has a chazaka of yibum to her sister, to her sister-in-law, meaning to her brother-in-law. Now, although that woman's believed to say that her husband died, but that's only for herself. She cannot say a testimony which will allow her future yibum to get married to someone else, which is by saying that her husband died. So therefore, each one is stuck because of the other one. So neither one can get married to someone else because you have to be concerned, as the chazaka was, that there is a yavam. Now the Mishnah continues, if let's say lezu edim, let's say one of the women had witnesses that testified that her husband died. Ulezu ein edim, the other one, her sister-in-law did not have witnesses that her husband, the other brother, died. Now, so therefore the Mishnah says, es sheyesh lo edim asura. Actually, interestingly, the one who has witnesses that her husband died will be forbidden to marry someone else. The reason being is because of her yavam. Because maybe her husband's brother is still alive. Because the fact that she has witnesses saying her husband died, that doesn't help her because she's believed to say her husband died even without witnesses. The problem is because the other one is not believed. She doesn't have witnesses, the other one. It's only her testimony. Her testimony does not work for her. But actually, the one that does not have witnesses, who it's just her saying her husband died, is permitted to marry someone else. And the reason is because she says that her husband died. Now, although that she might have a yavam, that's not true because there are witnesses saying that her yavam, the other woman's husband, died. And therefore, she's permitted to marry Lashuk. Next case the Mishnah describes is Lazu banim ulazu ein banim. Let's say one woman has children and her husband dies, and the other one does not have children. Now, we're talking about that neither one of them have witnesses testifying that their husband died. So that the Mishnah says, Esher yesh laban muteret. So the one that has children is permitted because she's believed to say her husband died. And therefore, even if she has a yavam, it doesn't make a difference. She has children. V'ashein laban masur, but the one that doesn't have children is forbidden, again, because although she's believed to say her husband died, but since he died without any children and she's zakuk to the yavam, there's a chazaka that the yavam is still alive. The fact that the other woman said he's dead doesn't help for her. Now, the Mishnah continues. Let's say, regarding this case of the two brothers, that there were actually four brothers. There were two that were married to these two women who went overseas, and both of them are claiming that they died. And then there were two other brothers. And then, nisyabmu. These two women that said, my husband died, went and did yibum with the other yavams, not the other woman's husband, but the other two brothers. That's who they did yibum with. And the reason is because, regarding yibum, neither woman has to come on to the testimony of the other one, which again is not believed for the other one because she's considered Yavam. She's considered Har Yavama. And this is going on the case of the Reisha, where neither one has witnesses or children. So what she's believed to say, her husband died. And therefore, she's allowed to go ahead and do Yibam with the other brothers. But then the Mishnah continues, Umesu HaYavama. Now, those two brothers, they die without any children. Now, the Tanna Kamma says, Asuras Lihinasi, they're back to the problem they were beforehand, let's say when there wasn't two other Yavams, they're forbidden to marry Lashuk. And the reason is because each one is forbidden because of the other one's husband, because maybe he's still alive. Now, although that both of them already had married and done Yibum with the other brothers, and the Chazakah that their husbands died, that's only because, again, that's only relative to themselves that they're believed. But now that they want to go ahead and marry someone else, that would be dependent on the testimony of the other one that her husband died. And again, that won't help, as we said before, because neither Yavama could say testimony for the other one. To marry the Yavam, you don't have to decide on that, because who cares if he's alive or dead? It doesn't make a difference. But now that there's only her and each one of these husbands are the only ones left, which each one might be alive, because we don't believe the other one's testimony, therefore you're stuck. You can't go ahead and marry someone else, Lashuk, because maybe he's alive. But Rabbi Elazar, he actually argues in this case, and he says, no. Hayil v'hutru liyavamin. Since, ultimately, based on the testimony, on the chazaka that their own husbands died, they were permitted to do yibum with the other brother-in-laws. So hutru l'chaladim, now they're permitted to marry everyone else, and they're not forbidden to say that maybe the other woman's husband is still alive, to make it forbidden on the yavama. Because once that we permitted them already to go ahead and do yibum with the other brothers, and each one is doing that based on that testimony. So we see, obviously, we allow her in Eishes Ach, we allow each one to go ahead and marry Yavam, which is Eishes Ach, and therefore that act is verifying that each one of these women's husbands are dead. If they're dead, yes, it's not the Yavama that's testifying for a husband being dead, allowing her to go ahead to marry someone else, and thus allowing the other one, because that wouldn't help. But if we're allowing each one to do yibum, which is the Isra Eishes Ach, that itself is verifying that the husband is dead, and therefore once the yavama die, we're not going to be held back by saying that maybe that other woman's husband is alive, and therefore they would be permitted lashuk. Now another case that the Gemara brings Tana from a Braisa, adding on to the cases of the Mishnah, is lezu edim abanim. Let's say one woman has witnesses that her husband died, and she has children. Ulezu, and the other woman has loy edim loy banim, no witnesses that her husband died, just her own testimony, and no children. Interestingly, is shtei mutaris. Both of them will be permitted to marry other people, and the reason is because there's no zika of yibum. The one who has children, because she has children, and she's believed to say that her husband died, so she doesn't have a zika yibum. The other one, because her friend has witnesses saying that her husband died, so it's not her testimony, it's the witnesses, and therefore, even though she doesn't have witnesses herself, but she's believed regarding her own husband, and she doesn't have children, which would make her Zakat Ibn. There's no Zikav Ibn because it's the witnesses themselves that are saying that he's dead, and therefore each one because of children, and one because that the other one has witnesses, and therefore saying that she doesn't have a Yavam, both of them will not be Zakuk to Ibn, and therefore both of them will be permitted to marry Lashuk.